We're going to look at the Word of God, which you'll be pleased to really hear about that.
Yeah.
John's Gospel, chapter 5. And it's entitled The Healing at the Pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. And which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been there an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and he walked. I'm going to stop there. And I'm just getting something else up, hopefully. Just to refer that some manuscripts have this in it. They were waiting, the paralyzed were waiting for the moving of the waters. And it goes on to say, from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down, stir up the waters, and the first one in the pool after each disturbance would be cured from whatever disease they had. So I need to just let you know that because I'm going to refer back to it. I've entitled this, "What Do You Want?" Now that's a question, and depending on the emphasis you put upon it, it can have different connotations. I could say, "What do you want?" which is aggressive and it puts people on the defensive. In my role in the hospital, part of my role is to answer the telephone when people require things from the medical device library, and I have to put on a really posh voice. You'd be shocked. "Good morning. This is the medical device library. How may I be of assistance?" I know, I don't always go quite that. But I have to be polite, it's part of my job, to be polite. It wouldn't be any good me answering the phone, "What do you want?" Because I can see who's rung, because on the phone it will tell me which ward have phoned up or which department. Sometimes I get caught out because you might get a mobile number come up. So there's different ways of saying, "What do you want?" Isn't there?
Yes.
And I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to speak to all of us this morning and say, "What do you want? What is it that you are asking Jesus to do for you?" I've got 5 P's. Place, people, person, power, purpose. This is an interesting place that we've just read. It was in Jerusalem, which of course is the center of what was going on. But Jesus wasn't at the temple, interestingly, because this was a different place where there were 5 colonnades. I often think, and I don't know about any of you, but and some of you are going to go into your super spiritual mode now, but If Jesus was coming to your home in person, in the flesh, what would you do? I remember years ago when I always knew when someone was coming for dinner. How did I know that? Because suddenly my mum and dad would get out all the top crockery, not the rubbish that the three children we used to eat off of. We had the top crockery, we had the top glasses, and there was a tablecloth that looked immaculate. And I used to, as I got older, I used to tease myself, I said, okay, who's coming for dinner? I said, what makes you say that? I said, don't be ridiculous, Mum, you've got the crockery out again. So, and there's a sense in which, when we think about Jesus visiting places and how people would respond to that, In my life, I've been very, very fortunate. I've visited some amazing places. And I have appreciated God's creativity. I couldn't even describe to any of you what the Victoria Falls are like in Africa. They are stunning, absolutely stunning. And I remember standing there for a good hour trying to take mental pictures because it was so, so impressive. I remember driving across the Rocky Mountains in Canada into the area of British Columbia where Vancouver is. The scenery, friend, is stunning. And I think if Jesus was visiting a place, Lord, you need to go and see the Victoria Falls. Yeah, you really do. And of course, you get the answer back, actually, Mark, I had something to do with that. But it's true. But I just think we would all go out of our way, would we not? If Jesus was coming to your home or if he was coming to this town, we would, you know, people would go, Jesus is coming. Jesus did not go to places where people wanted him to go sometimes. He went on a different route. And I'll definitely come back to that one. But he visited this temple and this colonnade, and I think he visited it because there were lots of needy people there. And I am convinced that wherever Jesus, if he came in the flesh, would come, it would be to visit needy people. Because you and I were once needy, were we not? And I also find this interesting, that needy people, I think, they sort of congregate together. They sort of spend time with each other. And of course, there were loads of people in this place where there was loads of needy people. Now, interestingly, Jesus didn't deal with the crowds on this occasion. He dealt with the individual, and I'll come back to that as well. But I find it interesting that Jesus was around needy people. For years, when I was younger and growing up, we used to put on crusades. I was part of that. And we used to ask people to come to church. And I, after a while and looking back, I realized actually, it's not about inviting people to come to church. It's about taking church out to people. It's about us going to where people are. And I am convinced that Jesus would have been visiting needy people in needy situations. these people in this story were in a real pickle, some of them. They were paralyzed. They wanted to get healed. They wanted to have a better life. They wanted better conditions. And Jesus speaks to one man. Now, I'm going to say this, and the whole subject of healing is a mystery. And none of us have all the answers to healing. Okay? If you want to read really good stuff on this, read David Pett's book on bodybuilders, where there's a whole chapter dedicated to healing. There is some wonderful stuff in there. I reread it myself this week. And of course, it talks about the sovereignty of God. It talks about the fact that sometimes it could be you're not being healed because your body's not in line with what the Word of God is saying. And there are other reasons as well. But there are times when in my life, I've not understood why God hasn't healed people. And I don't think I'll ever understand certain situations and things. But what I do know is this: God, through Jesus, has the ability to heal people. Yeah. So Jesus would visit places where people were and needed something. Now, the interesting story, and the reason I read that extra little bit, is that they believed, and I read some stuff outside of the scriptures as well about this particular pool, where the waters got stirred and there was an angel. And some places it talks about being a pagan ritual going on. And it talks about the fact that in some places they think maybe it was a hot spring that used to occasionally rise in the water and cause a disturbance. And then when this happened, of course, there was a mass. Who's first in was the situation. And maybe people did get healed. I don't know. But when this guy is questioned, he says, I've got no one helping me. Does he not? He says, there's no one here to help me down. I can't get down there. I am so badly crippled up. I've got no one to help me. Now, I believe, friends, in divine appointments. I do.
Yeah.
I believe that sometimes things happen on a divine nature. They've happened to me at different times in my life. And I thought it was interesting last Sunday when I get messages and calls at 8 o'clock and all the leadership are down, Mark. And I'm thinking, okay. I'm looking at the rotor. This is going to make some of you really laugh. I'm looking at the rotor and I'm seeing, communion. Can you lead? Yeah, well, I can do that. And all this communion. Oh, wait a minute. John's down to preach. And suddenly I'm thinking, this is 2 hours notice, friend. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking, can I bring my sermon a week early? And I'm thinking, I need to come up with something for communion. And I need to do. It's about trusting in God that those people weren't meant to be here. For whatever reason. I don't know what that reason was. But I know I was meant to be here. And those of you who were here, we had a cracking time, didn't we? It was a really good meeting. Nothing to do with me. The Holy Spirit turned up. I was mighty glad he did. So, why have I said all that? Because I'm talking about divine appointments. So in amongst this huge crowd of people who are needy, Jesus singles out one person. Now, I don't really understand why, because there are other occasions in the scriptures where it tells me that people queued up to be healed, and he healed many people. And in fact, he was tired at the end of the day, which is why he went off to pray and seek rest time. So I don't understand that, because there were occasions when Jesus would heal everyone who was put before him. But on this occasion, he picks one person out of a huge crowd. What do you want? And I just think there's a personal emphasis here. He chooses to speak to one person. And it reminds me that each of us as individuals are important to God. We are important to Jesus. We matter. And then he asks this question. Do you want to get well? Now, it's quite interesting, this, because in other stories, I think it's blind Bartimaeus, which David preached about a few weeks ago. He says, he asks him what he wants. The guy's blind. I'm not being rude, I'm not being flippant here, but the guy is blind. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Do you know, I believe, friends, that there are times when we have to be specific with God. When we're answering that, when we're saying, what do you want? I, digressing slightly, these suit trousers and this shirt, I got married in 18 years ago. Wow. And I haven't been able to even put the arm through the sleeve of the shirt. I've lost 2 stone in about 6 months. Now, I'm not, please don't all rush and pat me on the back later and say lots of lovely things. That would be good if you wanted to. But the reason I mention this is, I would have loved for Jesus to just snap his fingers and I would lose 2 stone. Marvellous. Would that be great?
Yeah.
Doesn't work like that. Now, sometimes when we pray about something specific, there are instantaneous answers. Yes, there are. But other times, we have to do our part. And my part was, I needed to cut down on what I was eating. I needed to be more careful with certain foodstuffs that I was eating that I shouldn't have been eating, perhaps. Or certainly not in the amount I was eating them. And so for the last 6 months, I have worked really hard to lose the weight. But during that period, I've asked the Lord every single day, please help me to be disciplined today, Lord, because I don't want to start putting on weight again. And I'm still praying that way. So between me and the Lord, we've got this thing, you know, the Lord helps me. Because for me, it's not easy. I love food. Sorry, I just love food. But there are other implications. My blood pressure was taken because I have to have a procedure coming up, which I'll tell you now, and then you can pray for me. In April, I've got to have an operation on my eyes. I'm not entirely comfortable with that. I'm not squeamish at all, except for one area, and that's the eyes. I am very squeamish about eyes, but I have to have an operation. So I went in for pre-op checks, you know, and they took my blood pressure, and not good. Not good at all. And there's a history of high blood pressure in my family. And so it gave me the motivation to sit down and say, listen, Lord, I need your help because I can't do this on my own. Yeah. But together, together, working together, me being disciplined, you helping me in that discipline, I've lost the weight. So there are times, friends, when we have to do our part. So it's interesting that I just find this question that Jesus said, do you want to get well? Just think about that for a moment. 38 years, this guy has been paralyzed. And Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? Why? I'll tell you why I think. I do think we need to be more specific when we pray. That's one thing. But I tell you this, I think people become comfortable in their insecurities and their problems and their difficulties and whatever's wrong with them. You can make that a comfortable world to live in. Anyone with me? You really, really can. And so in actual fact, some people think, oh, I don't want to lose that because I would lose my benefits. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone here this morning. Please. I wouldn't do that. But people could think.